present Lines from My Grandfather's Forehead, a sequential entertainment for radio, starring Ronnie Barker, also featuring Terence Brady, Pauline Yates, and Peggy Ann Wood, with Gordon Langford at the piano.
In the House of Commons today, the Prime Minister denied reports that a deputation
of
the Young Liberals had presented...
That's Kenneth Kendall, dear.
No, that noise.
Well, that's him talking, darling.
I heard a noise in the other room.
Listen.
I'm going to see what it is.
It's probably the cat after the goldfish again.
Good God! You're in. Good.
So are you, it seems. What are you doing in my dining room?
I'm just Higgins. I'm just Higgins. Justin Higgins. Solicitor. Any soliciting today? Is there anything you want to solicit at all?
You're not a solicitor.
I'm not a good solicitor, no. No, I'll be quite frank with you. I'm fairly rotten as a solicitor. My partner deals with all the legal work. I'm more the tree-lopping side of the business.
You're the what?
I lop trees. Got any trees, want lopping, general garden work?
What?
Well, let me put it this way. How are you off for manure? I mean, you've got plenty about the place, have you?
I haven't got any about the place.
Oh, right, I'll put you down for 100 weight. Now, what about seeds? Plants for the garden?
Now, just a minute.
Just a minute, yes.
This is a flat, and it's 9 floors up.
Well, have you considered sunflowers? I mean, they're nice and tall. You could get the people downstairs to water them for a start, and as they came
you
up...
You know nothing about gardening whatsoever.
Oh, don't I?
Well, do you?
I don't know. No, but my brother's wonderful. He's got green fingers.
Oh, he's the gardener.
No, he works in a trading stamp factory. But why I really came to see you is, well, to put it frankly, Doctor, it's this pain in my back.
Now, listen, you're just talking rubbish.
It's the pain in my back and the pain in my head.
You're a crook.
Now, steady on.
What have you got in that bag?
Sandwiches. Just sandwiches for my lunch. One beef and 2 cheese and chutney.
In a hold all?
And a gallon of light ale, yes.
You're lying.
Yes, I am.
Ah, you admit it?
Yes, I do, yes. It's 2 beef and 1 cheese and chutney.
Come on, let's have a look.
How dare you? Leave that bag alone. Those sandwiches are private.
What's this? Books? Been stealing books from bookshops, eh?
Certainly not. I've just been to the library to change my sandwiches.
These are brand new.
Well, yes, they're from the brand new library at the Station Road.
Home Encyclopedia. 8 volumes, eh? I could do with a set of these.
Well, you're not having those. I took a lot of trouble borrowing those. They're very difficult to borrow, those are, especially in broad daylight. They're 15 quid a set in the shops, those are.
Now, look. Look, here's 10 quid, and I'm going to keep the books.
No,
right now, either you take the money and clear off, or I shall pick the phone up and get the police. And that would put you right in it, wouldn't it?
Oh, that reminds me. Do you want that 100 weight of manure or not?
Come on. Out. Look,
you haven't heard the last of this. I'll get my brother onto you. Not the one with the green fingers, the solicitor one.
Out, or I'll phone the police.
All right, I'm going.
Well, Jack, how'd you get on in there?
All right, Harry, sold another set. Sorry, try again.
Godfrey, can you hear me there in the studio?
Yes.
Are you all right, Godfrey? Is the piano okay?
Yes, fine, thanks. I've got a frog in my throat.
Would you like a glass of water?
No.
Godfrey, that bit was all right just now.
Yes, I know. Oh, God.
Godfrey, how about if you play all the notes separately, and then I can edit them together later?
Could you do that?
Well, it would be a bit of a job.
Yes, quite. No, look, just let me have a few goes at it, eh?
Yes, fine, all right. Look, I've just had a thought. You carry on in the studio, and I'll try and see if there's anyone else in the building who can play it.
Oh, all right.
Godfrey?
Yes.
I suppose you don't know anyone else who can play it.
Well, my mother can play it.
Yes, my mother can play it as well. But she's in Doncaster.
Oh.
Old Fred on the door plays a bit, doesn't he? Perhaps I'll get him up. The only trouble is you'll have to go on the door while he did it, and you haven't got a uniform. I wonder if his uniform would fit you.
No, look, honestly, I'll get it in a minute. Oh, God.
All right, look, Godfrey, look, just keep going until it's right. You know, it's bound to happen sooner or later. If it goes over to someone else's recording table, it's just too bad, that's all.
All right.
I won't say another word.
Fine.
Good luck, old boy.
Thanks.
My name is Arthur Jones. I have quite a good job in town, but while I earn sufficient for my wife and myself, we do find we have nothing left over for the little extra luxuries.
I'm Arthur Jones's wife, Mrs. Jones. And 3 weeks ago, we decided that we would have to do something to supplement our income.
My name is Roger.
Now we have a paying guest, I find I have just that little extra that enables me to go out 2, sometimes 3 nights a week. My wife is remarkably understanding about it.
My husband works very hard all week. He deserves a few nights out with the boys.
My name is Roger. I'm the lodger.
I used to feel rather guilty about leaving my wife at home, but after the first few weeks, that wore off. Anyway, she has Roger for company.
I suppose I'm really a home bird at heart. And Roger, our paying guest, seems to appreciate the simple comforts of our little semi-detached.
Apart from being called Roger, I am also a commercial traveller, which means that I have developed a pleasant and persuasive personality.
Since my wife became pregnant, I have not been able to go out so much. And as Roger has left rather unexpectedly, we no longer have his money coming in.
Being a commercial traveller, my firm often requires me to move my base of operations at very short notice.
It's a pity Roger has gone. I'm going to miss that little bit extra. Hello, Florrie.
Hello.
Finished your shopping, then?
Oh, yes, thanks, Doris. Didn't see you down the corner shop this morning. Where'd you get it all, then?
Oh, I found a smashing place. New supermarket up the high street.
Really?
Yes. It's one of those thrifty marts. Marvellous it is. Got some wonderful bargains.
Really?
Yes. Tea, for instance. 1 1/4 quarter.
Really?
Yes. How much do you pay?
£4.03.
Really? Mm. I got £2 of sugar, 1 and 3.
They charged me a fiver. Special offer, he said.
Butter, 3 shillings.
Marge, £17.8.
No.
A half.
Cheese, 1 and 9.
£44.16. Marmalade, £81.10. Toilet rolls, £123.11.
No.
Oh, man, they're jumbo size.
You've been robbed. Oh, they're all the same, these little shops.
But you do get a personal service.
Proper catch pennies.
And you don't get stamps at your thrifty mart.
Who wants them? My bill came to just under £2.10. And how much was yours?
£349.12.11.
Well, there you are, then. See what I mean?
Yeah, but it's a handy, isn't it, like? Just nipping round the corner. And you do save on fares, don't you?
Well,
you do, don't you? I mean, for instance, how much was your fare today?
£440.
Well, there you are, then.
There's a sleepy little village, many, many miles away. Over mountains, through the valley and the dales, far beyond the blue horizon, where the morning meets the day. Journey on,
until you hear the nightingales. Then down a winding country lane where honeysuckle climbs, and through the forest, guided by a star, there you will find that sleepy village which is so behind the times. It's the nearest place that I could park the car.
Now then, let's see how Fulham laid out yesterday. Oh, blimey, lost 4-0. Ah, yeah, secret sex in Surbiton and all the facts. Ah, stroll on, it starts next week. Aha, long-eared schoolboy suspended by head. Oh, what's this then, eh? What's this? Liverpool housewife assaulted by a whistling Irish milkman. Oh, dear me. Pretty auburn-haired Mrs. Norma Kershaw, aged 28, of 112 Balmoral Crescent, told a hush court. On the morning of the 4th of June, Mrs. Kershaw had just finished her weekly wash.
That's that, then. I'll just dry me back and legs.
When she heard someone at the front door. Mrs. Kershaw, assuming that her husband George had returned to the house, wrapped a diaphanous garment round her slim figure.
That'll be George. Just put me Mac on.
Opening the front door, Mrs. Kershaw was astonished to find that the caller was not her husband, George E. Kershaw, aged 32, a biscuit representative, but burly, red-haired Harry Dunmore, milk roundsman of Ballroom Buildings, employed by Excess Dairies Limited.
Oh, hello. And good morning to you. I thought it was George.
Hello there. No, it's not George. It's Harry, you whistling milkman.
Mrs. Kershaw told the court that Dunmore whistled at her. He then made a certain remark.
Warm today, isn't it?
Which she repeated again and again.
Yes, yes, it's very warm. Very warm indeed. Very warm for April. In fact, it's the warmest spring that I can remember.
Dunmore alleged that Mrs. Kershaw made a certain request.
You'd better come into the kitchen. I can't stand here like this, can I? I've just come out of my bath.
No, I'd better not.
Oh, come on.
Oh, all right, then.
Dunmore eventually followed Mrs. Kershaw into her compact little kitchen. Mrs. Kershaw said by now she was trembling violently.
Yes. I'm just out of my bath and it makes me quite shivery standing here with, nothing on under me coat. But nothing.
Dunmore edged towards her and asked a certain question.
2 pints today, is it, Mrs. Kershaw? And I suppose a carton of cream as usual. Oh, dear, it's very hot in here.
Before she could reply, Mrs. Kershaw was horrified to see Dunmore removing a certain article of clothing.
Do you mind if I take my cap off?
Dunmore assured Mrs. Kershaw that he had no wish to interfere with her.
I don't want to interfere, Mrs. K, but between you and me, I wouldn't have the cream today. It's a bit off.
He swore that Mrs. Kershaw had expressed her willingness to take anything that was offered.
I don't mind if the cream's off. I'm going to bake some scones, you see.
At this stage, words were exchanged.
No, I can't sell it to you. It's off. It's very off.
It doesn't matter.
Well, it does to me.
But I'm the customer.
And I'm the milkman. I can't sell you cream that's off.
Dunmore admitted to the court that he knew his reputation was at stake.
I can't go around selling rotten cream. Excess Dairies is a very reliable firm.
Mrs. Kershaw recalled that the word cow was used.
The motto's on every bottle, straight from the cow.
It was then that the assault took place.
Oh, very well. Keep your blasted cream, you rotten old milkman. Here, take it.
Oh, now look what you've done all over me clean overalls.
Dunmore adjusted his clothing.
Let me get me cap on. I'm off.
Dunmore pleaded not guilty and was sentenced to 6 months' imprisonment. Mrs. Kershaw, her neat 36 figure dressed in a micro-length skirt and red angora sweater, bowed low as she left the witness box, and a judge immediately awarded her costs. They left together to decide the amount in his worship's chambers.
Weekend?
Not bad. Quiet, you know.
Best kind, I always think.
Yes. Oh, by the way, the wife died. Friday morning.
Your wife?
My wife, Gladys.
Really? I didn't know that.
Oh, yes, we all called her Gladys. Except the children, of course. They called her Mother. And the milkman, he called her Mrs. Brown.
I meant I didn't know she was dead.
Didn't you? Oh, yes. Oh, Gladys is dead, all right.
Bit sudden, wasn't it?
Well, she did have a bit of a sniffle on Thursday evening.
Really? But still, I mean...
Oh, quite. Take more than a sneeze or two to dispatch Gladys into the great beyond.
What was it, then?
Well, I won't bore you with the whole story, but you know, it was rather strange. There we were on Friday morning, taking our breakfast on the lawn. It's looking a real picture these days. You must come over one weekend. Where was I?
You and Gladys on the lawn.
Oh, exactly. There we were, you see, when all of a sudden...
Yes?
Do you know that sex maniac who lives down our road?
Which one? Sutcliffe?
No, not Sutcliffe. No, he lives in Ellesmore Gardens. No, my chap sports a balaclava helmet. Number 26.
Oh, I know the one you mean. Frampton.
That's Frampton. That's the fellow, yes. Frampton, yes.
Yes, well, what was he doing?
Well, the usual thing, really. You know what he's like. Came flying over the hedge like an Olympic hurdler. Landed on his head in the begonias, gumboots and gaiters shuddering with the impact.
Impressive, though. I mean, he's got presence.
Oh, quite, but... And mark this well, Smith. When he got up, he was brandishing this great hatchet.
Good God. Never done that before.
Exactly, just what I thought. Good God, I thought he's never done that before, I thought. My very words. Or thoughts, rather.
And what happened then?
Well, it was odd, really. He stood there for a bit, staring at us. You know, his eyes go all funny sometimes. He stood there for quite 5 seconds. Then he rushed over to Gladys and raised the hatchet high above his head.
Then what happened?
Well, I don't know. I had to leave for the office. Ah, here's the train now.
Day in the Life investigates a very special day for the Clegworthy family. Dad, Charlie Clegworthy, is a foreman at a factory making bicycle clips.
I hope it's 6:45. All right, lads, let's get a move on. We've productivity agreements to meet, you know. Of course, we've only got a labour force of 2, and the other one's 83, but you got to keep morale up, haven't you?
Tommy,
Charlie's 22-year-old son, is out of work.
Well, you know, being out of work, like, you know, it's rotten for a man's pride. I mean, especially when you start seeing flowerpot men second time round.
Sandra, 18, is a receptionist at a hairdressing salon for poodles. She'd like to become a brain surgeon.
Well, I have one ambition in life. I feel that before I die, I'd like to do something with other people's lives.
And our mum is, well, a mum.
Well, it's always the same. I cook the breakfast every day, and the dinners, and the teas.
Today is Sunday. Church. Peace and quiet. The Englishman's day of rest when he cleans the car, digs the garden, builds an extension onto the kitchen and lags his pipes. A day for the family to enjoy themselves together. Yes, Sunday is a special day for the Cleggworthy family. It's the one day in the week when this family of disparate individuals becomes one, corporate and indivisible. And at the heart of this one day is the family's traditional Sunday lunch of roast beef and Yorkshire pudding.
Well, all my life, you see, ever since I can remember, I've had roast beef and Yorkshire for Sunday dinner. It's been one of them things I live for, you know. Oh, these plastic matches I've got. There were 10 of us in our family, me mum and dad and five kids and me gran. We never found out who the other two were, but they always used to turn up for Sunday dinner. My mum used to cook it just right, you know. Lovely and tender. With just a spurt of blood, lovely. Not like this old boot, she always burns it, silly bitch.
It was 9 a.m. on a grey Sunday in November when I visited the Cleggworthys, arriving at the grey slate house with the orange door and lime green window frames. I walked up the path, stepping carefully between the dustbins and rusty bicycle frames. The Cleggworthy family have got up and are having breakfast.
Want any more tea?
Yeah. Oh, Sandra, you got more porridge than me.
Oh. You've got a complex, haven't you? You daft David.
Yeah. I thought to replace energy I lost around back at Gasworks last night. Yeah.
He's right, lad, indeed. Chip off the old block, eh?
I didn't see you around there, are Tommy?
Well, I've told you to keep away from there, you dirty little minx. How many more times?
Oh, give over, David.
Well,
Charlie, what? Microphones and that.
Why? Well, nice bit of bacon, this is. That orange sausage, I can't tell. Mm. It's well and truly cooked to our mother. What's for dinner then, eh, love?
Roast beef and Yorkshire.
Oh, our mother, that is a nice surprise.
Oh, we always have roast beef and Yorkshire.
No, I'll take me belt here for any more lip. What's the matter with you?
But what do the children, the younger generation, think of their traditional Sunday lunch? Are they looking forward to their roast beef and Yorkshire?
Well, I mean, like, it's, you know, it's always the same, isn't it? Of course, the apple does build me up for, you know, that.
He's a lad. Sandra, what do you feel?
Oh, I get bored, actually.
Yes.
See, I have a varied life of the poodles and my medical poodles.
Oh,
I think, why can't our mum do a nice biryani?
So, the young folk are not really satisfied with their traditional Sunday dinner. But Charlie Cleggworthy thinks differently.
If it's good enough for me and my dad, it's good enough for them. Snotty little devils. Don't appreciate their homes, you see. Mind you, it'll all be different when they get married and settle down. Then they'll be wanting their roasts.
It's 10:30 a.m. now, and Mrs. Cleggworthy is clearing up the breakfast things. Tell me, Mrs. Clegworthy, what exactly are you going to do next?
I have to start doing Sunday dinner.
Could you describe it for me? Mm-hmm. What do you do first?
I have to peel spuds and potatoes.
Yes.
I get the knife, stick it in spud, pull it to you, cut your finger. Ow! Stick the knife in next bit of spud, pull it to you, cut your finger again. Ow!
And so, while the rest of the family read their Sunday newspapers, Mrs. Clegworthy continues her arduous work in a kitchen with the practiced efficiency born of lifelong experience in traditional skills.
Put spuds in pan. Then you wrap your finger with an old rag for hygiene's sake. Start on the sprouts. Chop the bottoms off. Cut your thumb. Ow!
Every Sunday, at about 12:05, Charlie lays aside his paper, tucks his shirt inside his trousers, and puts on his cap. He is going out.
Oh, I always go to the pub before Sunday dinner because I always go to the pub before Sunday dinner.
2:15 p.m. and Mrs. Clegworthy, her preparations now complete, is becoming anxious.
Tommy, go and fetch your dad from Paul.
Fetch him yourself.
His dinner's drying up and I do like him to have his meals nice and fresh, especially his roast beef and Yorkshire.
Oh,
our
Mum. Hey, it must be barely 1 o'clock, ain't it?
It's Fleming, 2:15, you bluesy slob. Oh, your dinner's ruined and all been choked, so you're drunk on sod. You want to smell your breath, you filthy layabout.
Oh, go throttle yourself, you scraggy noiler.
This discussion continues until 3 o'clock. But the great moment arrives. The meal is served. Sunday dinner, roast beef and Yorkshire is eaten.
God, good is meat.
Oh, yeah. This Yorkshire's like glue.
Sprouts are black like bullets.
I'm going to get me chisel.
It's on kitchen table. I used it for getting joint out to fan.
At last, the Clegworthy's right. Finny to one more in a long line of Sunday dinners. But now it's all over. How do they feel about their roast beef in Yorkshire? Johnny? The youngsters.
Oh, it were horrid.
Well, it's always the same. Why can't we have something different?
No, I'm embarrassed, but I think we should eat more healthy food.
Oh, spaghetti and all.
Seaweed, nuts, essence of dandelion.
And finally, the guardian of the dinner table tradition, the, as it were, high priestess of the ritual, our mum.
Well, once that's over, I have to start food for a week. Monday, I take leftovers from joint and I put them in a stew. Tuesday, I take leftovers from stew, his wok, and make a mince. Wednesday,
she makes a broth from the rest of the stew. Thursday to Saturday, we eat out of packets. Oh, no flaming imagination, this one. Still, it's worth it for Sunday. Nothing like a really nice roast beef in Yorkshire.
Well, all my life, you see, ever since I can remember, I've had roast beef in Yorkshire for Sunday dinner.
Get the knife, stick it in spud, pull it to you.
Why can't we have spaghetti at all?
Why can't our mum do a nice biryani?
Nothing like a really nice roast beef in Yorkshire.
You've been listening to Lines from My Grandfather's Forehead, starring Ronnie Barker, with Terence Brady, Pauline Yates, Peggy Ann Wood, and Gordon Langford at the piano. The lines were written by Chris Allen, Tony Bilbo and Mike Fentiman, David Climie, John Graham, Gerald Wiley, and John Fawcett Wilson. The program was produced by John Fawcett Wilson.
Another child, a baby cried, a mother smiled.
Another sweet, another thing for me to eat.
Another sweat, another cram, 3 more weeks to my exam. Another night, another bed, 3 more weeks and I'll be wed. Another shave, another step towards the grave.
How was that?
Oh, don't bother, old chap. We'll have to scrub it. Run out of time. Jolly good.